we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Press and Journal, read by Neil Sleet.
NHS Highland and Highland Council are holding an event in Inverness this week to raise awareness of the dangers of falling for older people.
And our thanks to Hilary de Vries for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Kevin Day. Sit them on my left, Rebecca Front and Andy Hamilton. Jeremy, who's going e-back to the future?
Michael Gove, 2 points.
Okay.
Kevin, tell me. Successive governments keep fiddling with education, and nobody faces up to the fact that the biggest problem in education is that kids turn up not having eaten, not having slept, and basically being kids, which is one of the hardest things you can possibly be. Now, I was quite fortunate to go to a very good grammar school because our teachers had great character, because in those days, teachers had either been through LSD or the Second World War. And that meant they had personalities, and that's what teachers need above all else, because it's a performance. And I had a very good education, but I wasn't able to benefit from it because I was a teenager. Teenager is a tormented, needy, angry ball of spotty lust and self-loathing. Unless you're
There's
Michael
bad
Gove.
Things about it as well.
Yeah, I think maybe Michael Gove didn't go through puberty. I suspect he didn't. I suspect when he was at school, he had the time of his life. I suspect when he went home in the evening, he made a little model of the classroom out of a shoebox and made little pipe cleaner classmates and used to like to discipline them in the evening. Because he is utterly dysfunctional. We need to talk about Michael. If you're going to let a man like that loose on schools, you might as well give him archery lessons, for God's sake.
Well, to be fair, Jeremy, the good news is if you can spell baccalaureate, you pass English and French.
Yeah. I think they should just get rid of exams. It's just this frenzy that you go through on a hot June morning and you bone up for this three-hour window and then you forget all of that stuff forever. And now they're putting
about what you remember on that day, isn't it? And assuming that you haven't got either hay fever or a period.
Yeah.
If all those things are in your favour, then you might just get through it.
They should just get rid of all it. What they should do is you go for a job interview, they give you the job, and if you're no good at it, they keep promoting you until you find something you can do. Which is how the BBC works.
But the subjects, they're going to start with the basic ones, aren't they? They're going to start with English and maths and science, and then, I don't know what, godliness, hawking, calligraphy. I don't know what's going to go on.
I don't like the fact that he's going to be called Ebak, because in my house, that's what my son says about me. Ebak.
Yeah. But it's actually, if you get all the exams, it's going to be called Full English Baccalaureate, which sounds like something off Heston Blumenthal's Little Chef menu.
Well, I read it as eBay, and I thought, blimey, that really is an overhaul of
exams. Selling it all off.
The other thing as well is that some exams are useless, because I clearly went to a school like Jeremy's, and in our day, every school had a teacher with a metal plate in his head. Yeah. And the teacher we had with a metal plate in his head taught us Catholic sociology. I'm probably one of the only people who's got an actual O-level in Catholic sociology.
Is there such a thing?
There was such a thing, and it didn't take a lot of passing.
Was it like normal sociology, but you have to keep both your hands on the desk?
It was pretty much, you explain the rise in divorce in the last 10 years, the answer would be, I can't, but it's bad, isn't it?
Education Secretary Michael Gove has announced that GCSEs will be replaced by a new system with fewer resits and less coursework. The new exams will be called the English Baccalaureate, apart from the music exam, which will be the BERT Baccalaureate. The new system will have an old-fashioned approach, so students can learn to replace the valves in a wireless and know what to do if the maid gets dropsy. Gove confirmed that under the new system, a sizeable proportion of students would leave school with no qualifications. Then he cackled, turned into a bat and flew away. 2 points to Jeremy. Kevin, why does sorry not seem to be the hardest word?
I know, it's not as hard as resign, is it? Nick Clegg's, I'm sure he thought he was doing the right thing. I'm sure he thought, look, let's try saying sorry. That's what we tell children to do. But he did it in such a teenage fashion. It was like, look, I'm not sorry I did it. I'm sorry that I said I wasn't going to do it. Leave me alone. I didn't ask to be born. And you just know Cameron would have been going to him, what are you doing? What are you apologising for? We've still got hundreds of Kate Middleton photographs left. Distract him with that, you idiot. Yes, so Nick Clegg's apologising for saying they wouldn't top up tuition fees, and they have. I spent a very happy afternoon seeing what the students were actually thinking. I was quite a few students. And I was impressed initially by their anger, and then I was furious by their spelling. I really wanted to get my son to go and tweet back, say it's devastation, not devastation. There's only three S's in treacherous tosser.
It's just the first time Clegg has said sorry, I think.
No. He apologised for calling opponents of gay marriage bigots, didn't he?
Oh, no, that's true, ago. It's the first time he said sorry without following it immediately with, to bother you, Mr Cameron,
yeah,
I
basically.
Think. There is a fundamental problem with saying sorry for something 2 years after the event, isn't there? Because, all right, you may be using the words, I'm sorry, but actually it's coming across as, will you stop going on about this?
He was trying to do contrite, wasn't he, which is a combination of con and trite.
The argument he should have used is, we had no idea we were getting in.
Yes.
We were promising everything. You know when we said there'd be a giraffe for every garden? We didn't mean that.
To be honest, when I first saw it on television, I wasn't paying full attention. I just saw a posh man looking miserable. I thought I'd accidentally tuned into Downton Abbey, but very pleasingly, his little video has already been turned into what we're hoping is going to be a hit single. Have a listen to this.
We made a promise before the election that we would vote against any rising fees. We would vote against any rising fees. We would vote against any rising fees. It was a pledge made with the best of intentions. The best of intentions. But we shouldn't have made a promise we weren't absolutely sure we could deliver. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so, so sorry. There's no easy way to say it. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
There was an online suggestion that he could form a new boy band called No Direction.
He's doing the worst thing possible. He said that he supports the release of it if the money goes to charity. You think, oh, at least accept that you've been caught bang to rights and you've been humiliated. At least when Mussolini was hanging from his feet from a lamppost, he wasn't shouting out, can you sponsor me to hang here?
Nick Clegg has released a party political broadcast apologising for making a pledge not to raise tuition fees, which he later broke. First naked pictures of Kate, and now everyone's going online to look at a man not wearing any dignity. When we're wrong, we hold our hands up, says Clegg in the video, before saying our shoulders are starting to really, really hurt. 2 points to Kevin. Rebecca, why might it soon pay to be a high flyer?
The UK Border Agency is toying with the idea of introducing fast-track lanes at passport control. If you're quite well off, or, and the phrase is, I believe, of high value in aircraft terms, they will fast-track you. Now, all I can say to the people who are thinking of being fast-tracked is good luck to you, because my husband paid a little bit extra for us to have a thing called speedy boarding this year with a certain low-cost airline. And going to the front of that boarding queue, smiling apologetically and saying, I'm really sorry we paid for speeding boarding, those people would have killed us. They would have taken our children and slaughtered them in front of us.
Just as a country, we're turning into Ryanair.
Yeah.
Basically, you can get the basics, but anything decent, you have to pay for it. Tertiary education, of course, £37,000, you can have that. Yeah. It's entirely what we're having. I went onto a website. I'm paraphrasing the name of this website I went on, but it's pretty much Rich Scum Must Die, basically. And it's full of people who put names like Angry Anarchist, and they were talking about this, and somebody went on to say, if the airline pays and it subsidises airport expansion, what's not to like? And the very next post says, you're new here, aren't you?
What I don't understand, how's it going to work? Because how are you going to know if someone is genuinely rich? Because rich people lie about being rich. I mean, it's how some people built their business empires, by exaggerating how rich they are. So I don't see, unless you devise some kind of test, you know, unless you give someone a toothbrush, say, and see if they just wait for someone to come and put some toothpaste on it. How are you going to be able to be sure that they are rich?
Red trousers and a stupid suede hat.
You might as well not have passports. So if the rich are going to get through, just wave bundles of money. Simple as that. It's what the Queen has to do, because she hasn't got a passport. She has to identify herself with a £10 note.
My face is my passport. Looks like it's been stamped all over. But how much do you have to pay to have a go on the slide? I've always wanted to be in a plane crash. I've always wanted to crash in the sea so I can have a go on the slide. Remembering to take high heels off first, of course.
They used to say, though, in the unlikely event of landing on water, and have you noticed they've stopped saying the word unlikely? they just say, in the event of landing... No, the unlikely... Immigration officials are working on plans for fast-track lanes to speed high-value people through passport control, the head of the UK Border Force has confirmed. Travellers who are considered important to the British economy are likely to be fast-tracked. Well, that's George Osborne stuck in a queue all day. Well done, Rebecca. 2 points. Andy, who said publish and be donné this week?
All right, well, this is, as you're probably all aware by now, this week is Global Wind Up a Fundamentalist Week. This is not an easy story to do jokes about, but I think it's probably important that we try. If only to head off the letters from the right-wing Christians who will otherwise write in and say, would you do those kind of jokes about Muslims? I think not. So here goes.
This is Andy Hamilton. Andy Hamilton is speaking now. This is no other member of the panel. It's Andy Hamilton.
Right. At the heart of this story lies intolerance. And I've got a very clear view on this. My position on intolerance is that we shouldn't tolerate it.
Yeah.
In my book, anyone who's found guilty of intolerance should be taken out and shot. And the latest wave of outrage has been triggered by a crappy, self-important French cartoon which depicts the Prophet Muhammad. Although I'm not sure how you do a cartoon depicting the Prophet Muhammad, because there are no visual representations allowed of Muhammad. So there's no likeness of Muhammad to base your cartoon on. So I don't know. Unless they do it like an old Cummings cartoon. Do you remember Cummings?
Yeah.
You know, where you just draw a man with a hat with Muhammad written on it. I don't know.
They must have had a meeting in French magazines last week saying, we're getting a lot of heat about this topless photograph thing, aren't we? What can we do to take the heat off us, you think? I've got a few of those old Muhammad cartoons, let us say. Not the naked ones. Yeah, the naked ones. Throw them in. I'm sure they would have sit there going, I think what we'll probably do is print them and then apologise. Because, you know, they're like these hardline Muslim fundamentalists. They tend to go, oh, fair enough, you said sorry, we'll draw a line then.
It worked for Nick Clegg, after all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Islamic cartoons sound quite cute, though, don't they? It really suddenly said there was a bit of fuss about an Islamic cartoon. Really? What's the cartoon like? No Marmaduke, not the mosque.
They do Marmaduke. You're not supposed to visually represent animals.
Is that right?
I think the strictest interpretation of the Quran, which is invariably by scholars, is that you shouldn't visually represent animals or people because God made them and it's not for you to imitate.
How do they do Scooby-Doo, then? No wonder they're angry.
That's a very good point.
The sales of Scooby-Doo to Arabic countries are poor, yeah.
Well, I'm not an expert, but maybe this is the root of the problem.
Do you think, though, that Muslim people might not get so vexed if we just stopped attacking their countries? Do you know what I mean? Maybe if we eased off on the drone attacks and the invasions, they'd say, yeah, I can see the funny side of that.
But yeah.
In the circumstances, you can see why they're a bit...
I like the approach. I was doing a gig recently and I discussed the fact that a long time ago I was censored by the Press Complaints Commission because I did a joke that upset 3 of the major 4 faith groups. And I was quite cross about the fact it was only 3 out of 4. So I did a joke about throwing Ganesh a bun. And this young Hindu lad came up to me after, said, that's very funny. I said, you offended by it? He said, yeah, I'm a little bit offended by it, but you'll be coming back as an ant, so you.
Yeah.
French authorities have closed schools and embassies around the world as a precautionary measure after magazine Charlie Hebdo printed offensive caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad. The last time Charlie Hebdo magazine printed caricatures of a naked, bald man was the special Frank Boff edition back in...
We're nothing if not topical on this show.
The anti-Muslim video has now been watched by more than 10 million people on YouTube.
It's terrible.
Is it?
It's like Blake 7. It's so bad. They're standing in front of a picture of the desert. It's just awful. It's so bad.
I don't think the production values are really what they're bothering.
They made it. I mean, it's a bit obscure who made it. It appears to be this fraudster in America who's an Egyptian Coptic. But they duped all the actors and technicians. They made a pretty appalling film. Then what they did was they let the actors and technicians go, and then I think they overdubbed every voice with completely new dialogue to make a really terrible film.
The old good Coptic, bad Coptic trick.
Extra point there for Kevin, I think, which brings us at the end of round one. The scores are Rebecca and Andy have got 4 points, but Jeremy and Kevin have gone into the lead with 5. Two with a job advertisement from the Vancouver Press.
Waitress needed. Must be 18 years old. With 20 years experience.
And our thanks to Casper Goynick for sending us that. Jeremy, what environmental issue isn't black and white?
Oh, the slaughter of badgers. Well, it's very complicated, this, because bovine tuberculosis is a problem if you're a cow. Because you've got TB and it means you just die, you know, in a French garret drinking absinthe. But basically, it's no danger to humans unless we drink unpasteurised milk, which we don't. So it's not really the problem that it's cracked up to be. But the farmers, who are kind of the armed wing of the Tory party... kind of, you know, now that sort of shooting poachers and travelling people is frowned upon, they're kind of looking for something to train their sights on, and it's the badger, because they just sort of think, oh, they have it so easy now, they're not shaving brushes anymore. There used to be a balance, you know. And if you just kill all the badgers in one area, another load of badgers will just move in, and then you just have to kill them until you've killed all of the badgers. And badger culls have never worked in the past. The thing that probably would work would be to cure the cattle of TB, but then the milk would have antibiotics in it, and so you couldn't call it organic, but it might clear up any STDs that you've got. I don't know. It's complicated.
The Queen guitarist, Brian May, is opposed to this goal. He's launched Team Badger.
Yeah, but since he played in apartheid South Africa, I'd say his moral compass is a little bit skewed. I wouldn't use him as a benchmark of decency, really, having a support.
Well, he says every badger is a thinking, feeling being. Well, he should know. He's got one living on his head, so...
It's going to be a nightmare, isn't it? Yeah. Because you're going to have lots of farm workers running around late at night in the woods with shotguns. Well, I just hope that there are no hunt saboteurs wearing a Newcastle shirt, because that's just going to be...
And it's going to make an interesting episode of Spring Watch as well, isn't it?
Yes. The late night extreme edition. Yes, next month, farmers will be granted a licence to kill badgers. Does that not sound like the most bizarre James Bond movie of all? Farmers will be allowed in England to shoot badgers in an attempt to reduce bovine TB, despite a scientific trial that suggests that it won't help the problem. The licence covers 300 square kilometres of Gloucestershire. The next one will be issued in Somerset, which is where badgers spend the summer. 2 points to Jeremy. Kevin, who has stumbled on the campaign trail?
Ah, yes, the mitt has hit the fan, isn't it? Mitt Romney was secretly filmed. In one fell swoop, he's managed to alienate 47% of the people who may vote for him by saying they're the ones that are entitled to healthcare, food and housing, you know, the luxuries. And also, the other thing that was this secret video, he actually referred to Iran as a crazed fanatic. He said he's really worried now that dirty bombs will be smuggled into the US. And you think, well, if you become president, they will be, because your Secret Service people failed to spot a bloke at the back with a camera filming your speech. Who shouldn't have been there. And he's managed, astonishingly, Obama was in deep trouble. And there are now people in the hills of Arkansas going, do you know what, I think I might vote for the black man.
Though, because they're saying it's the most gaffe-filled campaign since George W. Bush in 2000.
Oh, really?
How did that turn out again? Just remind me.
What I love about Romney is every day begins with a hastily convened press conference. He might as well just block out his whole schedule now. 9 a.m. Yeah, the hastily. I don't know what I'll have said, but you might as well book me in now.
I particularly liked his the other gaffe that was mentioned in the same secret recording, which is him talking about how there'd never be peace in the Middle East. Never going to happen. Because Palestinians don't want it. So with that kind of one phrase, you can see that if he gets elected, it's just, it's Armageddon for all of us. We haven't got a hope in hell.
It's like asking a man in a pub to justify his... So that's the sort of thing a bloke in the pub would say. Never be peace in the Middle East, will there? Palestinians don't want it.
Yeah.
What are you having? Oh.
Going to be in a room negotiating.
Can we just run that by? What? That bit about the Palestinians? What? They want it, don't they? Mm. Oh, right. Salt and vinegar, then.
He's very male because he just deals in assertions, doesn't he? When he doesn't know he's being filmed, he just, like he said, you know, well, the poor in America don't pay income tax. And in that regard, they're very similar to the rich.
There's lots of rumours about how this video came to light. I think the lead theory at the moment is that Clint Eastwood was trying to take a photo on his iPad.
Clint Eastwood had spoken today, because apparently he's publicising a film at the moment. People keep asking him about his bizarre appearance at the Republican convention. And apparently he said, well, I mean, if they're dumb enough to ask me.
Mitt Romney has been condemned for footage of him telling a Republican fundraiser that it's not his job to worry about the 47% of Americans who don't pay income tax. The speech footage showed Romney insulting Americans, Palestinians, the Chinese, and Mexicans. That's like a full house in xenophobingo. Well done there. 2 points to Kevin. Rebecca, listen to this. Rebecca, who made a royal flush this week?
Poor Kate Middleton. I know she's not actually economically speaking poor, but nonetheless, it did seem a little unfair that there she was, you know, minding her own business and sunbathing with her husband, and she is quite young, and apparently a lot of young ladies do take their tops off when they're sunbathing. I certainly have never done it myself. I think it's actually lovely, as a gesture of solidarity, that we've all agreed, audience and panel, to appear topless this evening. Slightly uneasy that Andy went that little bit further.
Did you know that Kate Middleton, as an anagram, is naked tit model?
Is that right? That's brilliant.
Even I think, I'm not a royalist, but even I think, you know, she's a young woman entitled to her privacy, and it's outrageous that somebody has taken a photograph of her unknowingly. However, technically, I paid for that holiday. So I think we're all entitled to have a quick look.
We want to see the snap.
Exactly, if only to get the image of a naked Prince Harry out of our head. The royal family have gone full frontal crazy. If there's a full frontal stamp, I'm telling you, I'm not licking the back of it. It's also not the most embarrassing thing that's happened to her, to be fair, because on the first night she slept at Buckingham Palace, she was on 8 mattresses, didn't notice the pee.
It's not just young women. I am, as it happens, being photographed topless tomorrow. Admittedly, it's for my mammogram, but nevertheless.
It's not often you have to follow a joke that ends with the word mammogram. There was a very naive quote, I thought, from the lawyer of Prince William and Kate Middleton, the French lawyer, who said that she is not an object, which she sort of is now, because she's a meal ticket for a lot of people. That's the truth of it, rather like William's mother was. And I don't think legal action is the answer, because the paparazzi will continue. I think if she genuinely doesn't want to have pictures of her in the nude published in magazines, she needs to get her body tattooed with a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad.
Legal action continues after topless photographs of the Duchess of Cambridge were published around Europe. The royals have launched criminal proceedings against Closer magazine in France, which saw their offices raided this week in an effort to uncover the identity of the photographer. The Sun newspaper confirmed that it has been offered the pictures but had turned them down. They used up their budget buying the naked ones of Harry in Las Vegas. We've had a nude Prince Harry and a topless Kate. We're heading to a calendar, really, aren't we? Danish weekly magazine Se og Hør is to publish the pictures. I'll just help you there. Se og Hør, literally translated, means sod your privacy laws. 2 points to Rebecca. Andy,
does it mean see and hear?
It does, yeah.
So your language is basically just our language, only sillied up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, really.
See and hot.
Yeah, we just... So hockey is hockey. an egg is in egg.
We probably got that from you when you came over.
I'm afraid there is.
Yeah.
I do feel a bit guilty about that. I was playing a theatre in York recently and felt compelled to apologise.
Do you know that Ganyem, which is what Geordies say for goodbye, is go home, Ganyem, is Viking.
Yeah.
Which shows the only effort they put into repelling the Viking hordes was to stand on the coast with phrase books asking them to leave in their own language. And they're supposed to be hard, the Geordies.
Oh, but this is my theory, Jeremy. Let's just do a quick segue here. I don't believe all that rape and pillage by the Vikings at all. Can you imagine how good looking these fellas must have been? Can you imagine? They've rowed across from Denmark and they were blonde and fit and had all this fabulous language. I think the girls were queuing up and all the men, it's the men who write history, and they went, it was rape and pillage. The girls didn't want it at all. And the girls were going,
I did a programme where a historian came on who wanted to... he had a theory that the Vikings were not at all that they represented, and he said the attraction of the Viking men was that they washed.
Mm. My mother's from a tiny village in Ireland where an Armada ship was sunk, and 80% of the girls are got jet-black hair and very, very brown eyes. And they say you can possibly track where the Armada ships came in by finding the villages where 80% of the girls have got jet black hair and very brown eyes.
And they can all flamenco.
Yep.
2 points to Rebecca. To see how it was seamless, I got back into the game. 2 points to Rebecca. At the end of round two, the scores are Rebecca and Andy have got 8 points, but Jeremy and Kevin remain in the lead with 9. Round three with a cutting from an email newsletter.
Rain or Shine Theatre Group. As You Like It, performance on Friday the 8th of June. Notice of cancellation due to the terrible weather.
And our thanks to Matt Hall for sending us that. Jeremy, listen to this. A Soldier Girl by the Polyphonic Spree. Jeremy, which soldier was well and truly in the drop zone this week?
A woman from Fiji who joined up not realising that they're independent now and they don't have to fight for us anymore. But she joined the British Army for some bizarre reason, didn't realise she was pregnant. Now, this happened to my friend Quiver in Ireland. She went to the doctor who said, "Ah, you've probably just let yourself go." And... just tell people I love my curves. It works for the celebrities there. And point being, she didn't know she was pregnant. She had a baby. So it is possible. It's not made up. You cannot know you're pregnant and then have a baby. And this woman, thankfully, has been flown straight from Camp Bastion home with her new baby. But how you're able to carry out combat operations without noticing... Maybe people in the army are just very polite. I thought there was a lot of banter. I thought they'd say things like, "Oi, fatty, fatty from Fiji," and things like that. But clearly, no banter whatsoever.
This is why I've always said there should be no heterosexuals in the army. This just causes trouble.
That's the alarming thing is that, yes, you know, you do hear about people not realising they're pregnant fairly early on. She was, I think, 8 months, but she had the baby at 34 weeks. Mm. And you would think the army would train you in vigilance, wouldn't you? I mean,
yeah.
It's unnerving.
My first reaction was, when I found out that a woman in Camp Baston had given birth, was, fair play at Prince Harry, only got there Monday.
Maybe someone said, you better watch out for those IEDs, and she took her coil out.
I think the army missed a trick, though, because they flew her home, didn't they? I think they should have kept her out there as a sort of psychological weapon. You know, childbirth is a terrifying spectacle, and the Taliban are frightened of women as well, aren't they? So you could have deployed...
Are you suggesting a front line of women giving birth?
Yes. I am, because you've got to think outside the box sometimes.
I know, but is this all sorts of issues here, Andy, I think? Military, where are they going to get all those baby on board stickers for the tanks? Where are they going to...
There was a retired colonel on BBC this afternoon who says, well, this shows why you shouldn't have pregnant women anywhere near a war zone. It's outrageous. Women shouldn't be involved. Are you joking? One regiment of heavily pregnant, emotionally volatile, man-hating women pointing towards the enemy, do a joke about shelling peas, they'd take over the world.
They have been talking about the baby being named after the place it was born. I would have thought tricky in the playground to be called Camp.
Bastion's worse, isn't it?
This is short for Sebastian.
Yeah, Camp Sebastian.
Some people
the
like
camp
to...
Camp is redundant with a name like Sebastian.
Yeah, that's true. What I did love, it was really ironic, the military midwife who delivered the baby was in C-section, which I think is really... a British soldier has given birth on the front line, having not known that she was pregnant. The woman had a son in Camp Bastion on Tuesday, just hours after going to see army medics about her stomach ache. The Fijian-born soldier had passed her tough pre-deployment training, including a grueling 8-mile march and a 5-mile run, which is the usual preparation for getting from your parking space to the maternity ward at an NHS hospital. The new baby is said to have really boosted troop morale. Well, there's only so many times you can send Jim Davidson out there before it's diminishing returns. 2 points to Jeremy. Kevin, why might pause make you pause from work?
This is a story about paternity leave for animals, which in an ideal world would be about guide dogs having time off work to spend time with their partners. Or a Dalmatian coming back to work after 2 years. You say, where have you been? I had 101 children. People are increasingly taking time off to be with new pets, cats and dogs, and some firms are looking into this as a way of making people happy and giving them time off to be with pets. And one company said it recognises that women who choose not to have a family also need time off. Yes, evenings and weekends, which they get already.
Some pets are tricky. You try settling a goldfish into your home. Every 3 seconds it's saying, so this is the lounge, is it?
I didn't pay a lot of attention to the story because I was distracted by London Fashion Week. But, but
you were very good in it.
I was. As I understand it, some of it is people who sacrifice their leave.
Their dogs and pets.
To go settling a puppy. But then a lot of it is employers granting additional time off to... And you think someone goes to their employer and says, I need a week off to settle in my puppy, and we wonder why our economy is going down the toilet. Because they'll open the flood doors every... You know what people like? They'd be, oh, my tortoise needs emotional counselling. And my fish has got abandonment issues. And my hamster's getting flashbacks to Freddie Starr.
People take time off to plan funerals for their deceased pet. How long can it take to flush a toilet? According to a survey, some dog owners are taking 3 weeks paternity leave while they settle their new puppies in. Dog owners take an average of 6 days off work, while it takes a cat owner only 3 days to work out that it's a conniving, self-centred sod that already knows exactly what it's doing. If the pet paternity leave isn't granted, the owners often feel like they have to take their pets to work, which can cause chaos, as seen in the documentary feature Wacky Races. 2 points to Kevin. Rebecca, why are fewer children's books now page-turners?
Well, because more children these days are buying their books in electronic form, certainly more than when I was a child. I've no idea why that would be. But yes, sales of e-books for adults and for children are soaring. For adults, then part of that is attributed to the success of, you know, soft porn and people not wanting to read that with the covers exposed. Presumably the same is true for children. I don't know what age children you're talking about.
She can't tell what they're reading. God almighty, my children might be reading Dan Brown. It's really awful.
If you were trying to read The Very Hungry Caterpillar on an e-book, you'd need a drill, wouldn't you?
Yes, you would. I don't think I'll ever get one. It's just not for me. I love a book. I can literally get lost in a book.
I overheard a conversation on a tube between a couple who had clearly had days left in their relationship.
I
edged closer. I almost gave the woman a round of applause because this guy with a Kindle just kept saying, it's as light as a paperback. And she says, I know, I've got a paperback. And then he kept going about, and you can read it in broad sunlight. And she said, I can read this book in broad sunlight. And then he said, and this is a genius, he said, it's cleared up loads of space on my shelf. She said, yes, which you need for the Smuggest Man of the Year award.
Figures from the Publishers Association sales of children's e-books nearly tripled over the first 6 months of this year compared with the same period in 2011, leading experts to claim that children will grow up more used to reading from a screen than a page. The rise in e-books has also led to new versions of old classics like The Lion, The Witch and The Wi-Fi and Five Children and IT. A review on the website by Dr. B. Ashim for Clever Little Mouse by Paul Ramage said, my 6.5-year-old daughter read this book on Kindle. She enjoyed it very much and described it as the excitingest book she has ever read, proving that whilst sales are increasing, literacy levels have yet to catch up. 2 points to Rebecca. Andy, why is 55 the new 36?
It's a story about sort of changing the definition of middle age, because people are fitter and living longer and everything. It seems to me quite hard to define middle age. It's not really a physical thing. It's more a mental phenomenon. So, I mean, I think you know that you're middle-aged if you're walking around the house and you find yourself going, for no reason whatsoever. Or if you find that you are actively looking forward to a nice cup of tea. It's always a shock to me that I am the age I am. In my head, I'm still 17, and when we had three kids and I became a parent, I thought, this can't be legal, can it? So it really is a question of how old you are inside your head, although I think Ranulph Fiennes is going a bit far. He's 68, and everyone says, oh, it's marvellous, he's going to trek across Antarctica in the winter, which nobody's ever done, because it gets to minus 60, and, you know, he had a heart attack, and he climbed Mount Everest, and everyone sees this as being proof that he's wonderfully positive and happy. I think what you're looking at there is the world's longest unsuccessful suicide attempt. It's the only explanation.
People say that you want different things when you're over 50, and I don't think that's true. I think you want the same things. You just want them delivered, that's all.
They say that the person who's going to live to be 200 has already been born. Really? I imagine they must be feeling under a lot of pressure.
I'd met a scientist who believes that the first 1,000-year-old person has been born, because he believes that medical technologies are going to accelerate so fast in the next few years that people will just be able to be sort of constantly repaired. And I said, well, how soon is this going to kick in? And he said, how old are you? And I said, 56. And he looked at me and went, yeah, I think you just missed the cut.
According to a survey, middle age now begins at 55 and ends at 69. There are different ways of finding the middle. You can use the mean, the mode, or median, or, as in this case, just take the middle to mean two-thirds of the way through. Middle age is much younger in Denmark after life expectancy was so drastically lowered by all the gritty crime drama.
Is that Crane Drama?
Crane Drama, yes.
No not a language, it's just plagiarism.
Yeah, we're just mucking about.
Is Borgen actually just Danish for bargain?
Yes, yes, it is.
And to learn to speak Danish, you just have to go to the dentist and get your mouth all injected.
That's all
so
there is to it.
So it goes paralysed.
Yeah, I've been Sandy, talk to me.
Well, this is my wisdom teeth out.
Can I just apologise to all Danes who might happen to be listening? I'm so sorry. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by Richard Lake. It's from the This Is London website. Brian Whelan, 28, who lives in the gated Bow Quarter block, where a missile will be rigged on the roof of a water tower, is leading the campaign to block the installation of the missiles. He said, "The Ministry of Defence have tried to claim I am a lone nutter, but I am not alone."
Mr. Day.
This is a very sad story from the Hexham Courant, sent in by Susan Miller. Not everybody was able to join in the Olympic spirit, because it reports that disappointed members of Hexham Town Council were told on Monday that all attempts to stage special events had been refused or ignored by the organisers of the Torch's 8,000-mile journey through Britain. The Torch convoy will stay in the car park for around 15 minutes, but it will not be lit. The only activity will be members of the convoy using the toilets at the leisure centre.
Front.
This was sent in by Steph Adams, and it's a clipping from the BBC News website. According to artistic director Kim Gavin, the Paralympic Games closing ceremony will be a festival of flame with the athletes at the centre of it.
Mr. Hamilton.
This was sent in by Todd Colby. It's a wonderfully surreal press cutting from the Daily Mail website. A tourist who joined in the search after a member of her bus party went missing was able to help track the woman down when she realised it was herself they were looking for. When the details of the missing person were issued, the woman didn't recognise her own description and unwittingly joined the search party for herself. After a night-long operation involving around 50 people, the missing woman eventually realised she was the source of the search and informed police.
Let's take a look at the final score. Rebecca and Andy have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Jeremy and Kevin with 13. Before we leave you, here is a sign seen in an H. Samuel engagement ring display case sent in by Laura Batty.
Diamonds are forever. That's why our diamonds come with a 10-year guarantee.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the News Quiz Extra with Jeremy Hardy, Kevin Day, Rebecca Front and Andy Hamilton. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Neil Sleet. The chair script was written by Carl Carter, John Luke Roberts and Benjamin Partridge, with additional material by Tony Cowards and Tom Meenan. The producer was Ben Walker.